Good to see all of you back this evening. Last week we started a series entitled Taking Control of Your Destiny. And I want to cover the basic two things we talked about so that we can springboard off of those tonight, because I want to expand on those, particularly the last thing that I talked to you about last week this evening. We talked about our choice in life. And I tried to explain to you last week that our life as we know it now is a matter of choice. And that the only way you and I can really take control of where our life goes is to have a willingness, first of all, to accept responsibility for our lives. Now, I told you that, you know, we couldn't choose what family we were born in. In fact, give you a little insight. I didn't share this with you last week. I was saving it for this week. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17 that God, it says, God chose the exact time and boundaries that you should be born, that perhaps you might grope for God and find Him, though He is not far from every one of us. If you take that and understand what God is saying, here's what He's saying. God picked your mother, God picked your father, God picked you were born for one primary reason. So you'd grow up dysfunctional? No. Of course not. But so that as a result of whatever it is you went through, you would turn to Christ. That's why God did it. God did it to give you the best chance and the best hope that you could have for coming to Him. We call that God's sovereignty. Now, you may not, as I said last week, you may not have been able to pick your parents and everything may not have been rosy growing up. But let's pretend right now that you're 20 years old, you're away from home, all right? What I'm trying to express to you and tried to express to you last week is that from here on out, you have a decision of your own will as to how you decide to view your past and what you decide to do with your future. I'm not saying that you may not have issues to deal with and you may not have a lot of forgiveness with which you must look at your past. And you must be willing to forgive. God tells us to forgive. Why does God tell us to forgive? Because He knew we wouldn't have perfect parents. He knew we wouldn't have a perfect world. God gives us answers. It's just whether or not we want to do them. He gives you answers. We can spend our life being bitter and resentful and hard-hearted. Or we can soften our heart. And we can forgive and we can let go and we can go forward with a new future. And that's what I was trying to express to you last week. The only way you're going to do that, though, is if you decide to accept responsibility and decide to say, well, I can't help everything that happened to me. I'll tell you this, though. Even in our teen years, there's so many decisions that we make on our own. I've talked to so many individuals, you know, who made choices in their teenage years. And I've asked them, did your parents put a gun to your head and tell you to go get drunk? Well, no. Did they force you to do it? No. You did it, didn't you? Did they force you to do whatever else it was you did? They didn't force you. You decided. If you gave in to peer pressure, it was you who gave in to peer pressure. Maybe they have a lot of forgiving towards you that needs to be done rather than the reverse. Maybe you need to go ask them to forgive you for the kind of hellraiser teenager that you were. Oh, we don't think that way. We don't like to think that way, do we? It's not much fun to think that way. Shoot, who wants responsibility? That's what I tell you. Accepting responsibility is the first key issue towards a successful, dynamic life. All right. So enough said about that. Second thing I talked to in the end. And I ask you to think about it all week, and I trust that you're back here tonight, unless you're here for the first time, because you decided that you're leaning towards that decision or you've made that decision. And that was that in order to determine your destiny, you must decide who it is you're going to follow in life. Bob Dylan used to have a song when he was going through his spiritual life type phase. Who knows where old Bobby is today. But he had this song, and I was wishing a band could do it to ask if I'm going to serve somebody. It might be the devil. It might be the law, but you got to serve somebody. You remember that song? You know that song? Yeah, you've heard that song. Well, anyway, that's really true. But Bob, old Bob, he got some light during that period of his life. I don't know where he got it. Maybe he got it from God. Who knows? But it's true. You decide in life, basically, who you're going to follow, who you're going to serve, who you're going to allow to lead you in life, who's going to be your guide. And I told you last week that you either decide to allow our society to guide you, you allow their advice, their psychology, their sociology, their outlook on the world, you allow advice from your parents, advice from the therapist, whatever, to guide you, or you decide to allow God to guide you and God's Word to guide you. Now, I shared with you last week, you don't have to look very long, nor do you have to look very hard, to realize that the advice of our world doesn't work. I don't know how much convincing we need to understand this, but I shared with you last week a number of examples of people who are choosing things that are killing them, and our world says, it's okay, go ahead and choose it anyway. We're behind you. We understand you. We affirm you. And it's killing people. God's Word tells us just the opposite. God's Word tells us about life. God, you know, I'll tell you a little statistic I read. I don't want anyone to feel bad about this statistic, by the way, when I share this. It's just, I shared this with a friend about 2 weeks ago. And then I found the exact statistic in U.S. News and World Report yesterday. But just let me give you an example, all right? Again, I'll try to disclaim this in just a moment so that no one here takes this personal. I'm just trying to help you understand something about the Bible, all right? I was sharing with a friend of mine. I said, you know, I would be willing to bet $1,000 that if someone did the research, they would find that most juvenile criminal activity is done by children who don't have both parents. But I didn't say that because I didn't, you know, it's just an assumption. You know, you can look at life and know these things. 70% of all crime, particularly among juveniles, is perpetrated by those who come from single-parent families. Now, why do I share this with you? The reason I said this, I don't want you to take this personal, because I want to tell you something. If any of you are coming here and you're a single parent, you know that you're welcome here. I want you to know that. We care about you and God loves you. I am not saying it is a personal thing at all. What I'm trying to do is help all of us understand that society is stupid and insane. Their advice stinketh, as the Bible would say in the King James Version. The bottom line is that God says refrain from immorality for a reason. Because immorality brings about unwanted births. And those unwanted births have taken us over the precipice of conscience. And now we kill those children, or many of them become criminals. God knew that. God's the one who made the family, folks. God made it. We didn't make it. We didn't come up with it. I'm just trying to highlight to you that God knows what He's talking about when He talks about what will keep a society going. And He knows what will destroy it. So what I'm trying to share with you is, you have a crucial, critical decision to make in your life. No matter how you've lived your life up till now, doesn't matter. Here's what I want to tell you tonight. It does not matter how you've lived your life up until this very moment in time. What matters is this, is that after tonight, you make a decision of your will, a determination to take a new course in life, to do that which God says is best to do in every situation. And you find out what it is. You make it your personal life mission to find out and discover what it is that God wants you to do. And I promise you this. The Bible says those who hope in the Lord will never, ever be disappointed. Now, I got to tell you right now, I've lived in this world. It's very disappointing. I have a little saying I wrote down in my book. I have this little book that I'm accumulating sayings of my own that God gives me as I go through life, to pass on to my kids, and I wrote this. Life seldom, if ever, lives up to our expectations. God always goes beyond our expectations. That's the truth. Life disappoints, And the philosophies of our world leave us shattered and broken and hurt. How many, you know, individuals I've talked to have gone through one bad relationship after another because they did it their way. They did it society's way instead of God's way. Instead of waiting on God, they rushed, got the horse, the cart before the horse and went off on their own. And they've been sorely disappointed. Well, from here on out, you determine to do it God's way. Someone once told me this little saying. I've never forgot it. The enemy of best is not bad. The enemy of best is second best. I determined at 19 years of age, when I decided to follow Christ, that I'll never again settle for second best in my life, ever. I want the best. I want the best mate. I want the best kids. I want the best life. I want the best. I want what God has to give me, and I will wait for it, no matter how long it takes to get. Now, that's not easy. I'm not here to say that's easy. I'm just here to say that's the best way. But I'll tell you this. The most difficult thing that you could go through waiting on God is easier than the worst thing you go through without God. By far. The shattered dreams that people experience today apart from God, apart from following God, are devastating compared to the waiting that you may have to with God. So you need to decide tonight who you're going to follow. Jesus put it this way. If you read the Gospels, I would start in the Gospels, a good place to start. The Gospels will challenge you in your personal life. Jesus is walking along and he says this, "Whoever would follow me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever loses his life will find it, but whoever keeps his life will lose it." Have you ever asked yourself, what would have happened if John, Peter, when Jesus came by and he gave them the challenge that I'm giving you tonight, would have said, "No thanks, Jesus. I'm not interested. I like fishing better. You know what, Lord? I like the way I'm living better." Have you ever asked yourself what they would have missed out on? They had extraordinary lives. I've asked myself over and over. I read the Bible over and over. I read the Old Testament stories over and over. I've asked myself, what if David would have decided to say no to the destiny God had for him? What if he would have decided, "Oh God, I think I like sheep. Who wants to fight a giant anyway? I kind of like it out here with these smelly animals, Lord." What if Moses would have said, "Hey, Lord, you know what? You're wonderful, you're nice and all that, but I like it in Egypt. A lot of beautiful women around here, Lord. And I'm going to be the next Pharaoh. And I can do things my way. I can run my own life. In fact, I can run the most powerful nation in the world. No thanks, Lord. I don't want to part the Red Sea. And I don't want to make no plagues happen either, Lord. Hey, I just want my nice, mundane, boring life." You ever ask yourself those questions? Probably not. I'm asking you those tonight. You see, you will never know what your life could be until you decide to follow God. You'll never know what it is you're missing out on unless you decide to risk it all and follow Christ. You follow Christ, and I'll tell you, there's no way that I could begin to describe to you what God can do in your life and will do if you decide to follow Him. I entitled this message, "Go For It." That's a little phrase, you know, sticks in my mind, "Go For It." There's a couple things I want to share with you tonight. I'm going to end with that, but I do want to share this with you. If you're going to follow Christ, then you're going to need to risk everything. It has to be an all or nothing kind of a deal. It isn't something you do a little bit at a time. You decide, "I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to go after Him. I'm going to live for what He wants me to live for." See, everything in this world, let me explain something to you about our world. Our world, you know, is passing away. You know, if you ask yourself, why is the environment getting worse? And why is there death? And why do things die? Because that's what this planet is. It's death. It's planet death. Everything on this planet will die. Everything. It just decays and it dies. Jesus told the masses of people who were following Him, He turned to them one day and He said, "What would it profit a man? What gain would you have if you gain all the world but lose the value of your soul, lose your destiny? What would it profit you? You can't take it with you. They can dump all your gold and money on top of you in the casket, and what would it matter? Have you ever thought for a moment about life? Have you ever thought how short life really is? You remember for a moment when you graduated from high school? I see high school kids today. I know I'm getting old because high school kids today, to me, look like sixth graders. That's the honest to God truth. I am stunned. I can't believe it. Other than a few that are giants, but they still have a baby face. You can still tell, you know, they're just kids. Then you know you're getting old. But I remember when it was just like yesterday I graduated. And it seems like yesterday that I graduated. It seems like just yesterday I was 18 years old. I'm not 18 years old. My life is going by very fast. And frankly, I don't know if I'll be here 1 year from today. I don't know if I will. I don't know if I'll be alive. I don't know if the world will be over. I don't know if Christ will be back. But I'll tell you what I do know. My face is set like a flint, and I'm going after the destiny God has for me, and nothing will stop that. Nothing. God wants to take me, takes me. But I'll tell you this, you've only got one shot at life. You don't get lots of chances in life. You get one shot at your life. And here's why you need to be very careful, and you need to evaluate where you're going very carefully. Because once you get into the rut, once you get into the groove of mediocrity, once you get into the groove of where it is society tells you ought to be, it is extremely difficult to get out of the groove. What happens is, when you first start as a young person, this is why I'm always excited to talk to college students. They're so impressionable. They're so idealistic. And there's a lot to be idealistic about with God. They've only been about this deep in their groove of life. By the time they're out of college, they're about this deep, thanks to our wonderful professors. And by the time they reach 30, they're about this deep. And it's pretty hard to climb out of that rut. It's pretty hard to get them up onto a new way of living, up onto a new level pathway of life. But if you listen, if you'll carefully, no matter what age you are here today, that doesn't have to be a barrier. But it will be, I'll tell you this, it will be harder to risk. That's why I'm glad I started at 19. I just can't thank God enough that I started out on this journey at 19 years old, that I decided when I was only making when my rent was only $45 a month, and I had no responsibilities, I decided then and there to risk it all. And that if I ever get married, I would marry a woman who would live in a cave. And I told her that before we got married. I told her I have no certainties in life. I don't know if I'll have a wonderful retirement plan or not. All I know is that we're going to follow Christ. And if you want to come with me, you can. If you don't, I'm not the guy you want to marry. It wasn't hard at all for me to say that. Now, I think back on my life and I've asked myself this question. You know, when it comes to destiny, I've asked myself, what would have happened if my wife, Kathy, she's here tonight, had not decided in 1975 to quit the Iowa State track team and to get her life right with God and break up with the guy she'd been going with for 4 years. What if she had not made that decision? I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be married to her, that's what. That decision forever changed her destiny. And she's very glad about it. You can ask her. You know what I'm saying? And I'm very glad about it. I'm more glad about it. You know, I'm just so blessed. I wouldn't have my four children. I know for a fact I would not be here tonight if it was not for the woman God gave me. But let's back up just a few steps. I've asked myself, what if I had not decided in 1975 to turn my life over to Christ, not only turn my life over to Christ, but to turn my future spouse over to Christ, my relationship with women over to Christ, and decided not to date, and told God, God, you want me to get married? You bring the woman into my life. You point a finger on her and say, she's the one, and I'll marry her. All I ask is that she loves you as much as I do, that she wants to follow you with all of her heart. That's all I want. It's all I want, Lord. And then I left it in His hands. And almost 2 years later, in one evening, God pointed her out. And 2 weeks later, we talked about getting married. And 8 months later, we got engaged. And 2 years later, we were married. What if I hadn't made that decision? Well, I know what would have happened if I hadn't made that decision. women, quite frankly, now I have nothing against them. I want you to know that. They would have stolen my heart from God. If I had not made that decision at 19 years old to turn it totally over to Him and wait, I'd never waited for anything in my whole life. I don't like waiting. Just in case you were wondering. I don't like waiting. I decided to wait. I decided to wait and serve Christ and live for His purposes and live for His business. Now, let me share this with you. Number one thing you've got to do once you decide to follow God, to follow His advice, is you must define your destiny. You must define what it is that you want, where you're going, and why. All right? I have a life mission statement. It's mine, it's my wife's, it's my children's, and my family's, and it's this church's. And it's a simple phrase, making Christ attractive to the world. It is that exclusive purpose for which I live. Everything in my life, in my family, in my ministry, is for that exclusive purpose. That whatever I say, whatever I do, to the best of my ability, filled with the Spirit of God, that my life would attract people, my words would attract people, and persuade them to come to know the Savior that I know and love. And that's the exclusive reason I live. That is the defining purpose of my life. 19 years old, I decided very clearly, I understood from God that God wanted me to go into ministry. I was 19 years old. Now, I'll explain a few things about myself because you may not know these. First of all, I did not do very well in school. School was not my strong point. Discipline was not my strong point. I only did the things I liked and I didn't do the things I didn't like. You'll never be successful in life, of course, if you don't learn to do the things you don't like. Secondly, the normal way to get into ministry is to go to college. I have never been to college. I have never been, this may be a surprise to some of you. You may never come back because of this. That's fine with me. You must decide that. I've never been to seminary, I've never been to Bible school, I've never been to college. That's the normal way you do it. Now, it wasn't that I wasn't open to that. In fact, the very first thing that I began seeking God about at 19 and a half years old was, what do you want me to do? Now, a lot of my friends, including my mother, told me how to sing. God needs musicians. You ought to sing, Mark. And that was one of the things I did in school. I sang a lot. I was good at singing. God gave me a talent to sing. So I thought about it. I prayed about it. I began to read my Bible and say, God, I'll do whatever you show me in the Bible to do. I believe God will show you in the Bible what to do. So I'm reading along one day and I was out in this field that I used to go. And I came to this passage in Acts chapter 4. And I was just my daily reading, and I came to this. It says, and when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated, ordinary men, they recognized that they had been with Jesus. It was the first time a lightning bolt hit me. It was the first time in my young Christian life that I experienced God talking to me. See, I had an offer from a grandparent to pay my way to Moody Bible Institute. So I put it on the altar. I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I mean, college, it doesn't exactly turn me on, but if you want me to go, I'll go. You just show me what you want me to do, and I will do it. So I read this passage, and I knew right then. I knew right then. God doesn't need my training. God doesn't need extraordinary people. He needs ordinary people who will do one thing, who will commit themselves to spend time with Him. So from there on out, I did. I was single at that time. I had no bills other than my rent and food. And I lived with another guy. And like I said, we lived up above this flashing neon pizza place in downtown Webster City, Iowa. I paid $45 a month to live there. I was a machinist. I worked part-time. And I used all my free time to either study the Word of God or share my faith with other people. I'd go back to the high school where I graduated and I would share with my teachers and I would talk to them about what God had done in my life. I devoured every biography that I could get my hands on. And I'd just go pray. And just ask God. I was preparing for my destiny. I knew exactly where it was I was going to go and why I was going to go there. So I just kept preparing and I just kept preparing and I just kept preparing. And every time I had the opportunity, I would share with others, whether they knew the Lord or didn't know the Lord, about the wonderful things of God. I just start memorizing the Bible, hiding it in my heart, preparing my life for what God had for me. And then I met the girl that I eventually married. And then all of a sudden, I began to find out what it was like to suffer to follow Christ. I wasn't exactly the kind of person her parents had in mind for her to marry. And I found that out in a very harsh way. They kicked me out of their home. They told me to get the blankety blank out and never come back. They wouldn't let my wife return to finish her finals at college. They wanted to go get a deprogrammer to deprogram her. Well, you can't deprogram the Holy Spirit. They just didn't know that. And we waited, and we waited, and we waited. I didn't know if this girl could take it. And God began refining our life. And God began refining our life. I didn't do anything. By the way, it's the first time I'd ever met them. I just went down to talk to them, to ask about the possibility, to honor them. I wasn't used to honoring parents. It's a new thing for me. God said to do it. I wanted to do it. So we just drove down. We said hello, and they began to grill us. Next thing I knew, it's like, get out of here. See, I wasn't going to live for money. I still will not live for money. I will not sell out. They had a different agenda for the daughter than God had for us. Well, I knew this was going to have to refine my wife. She's going to have to decide, hey, if this ends it, it ends it. I'm going on for Christ. She has to decide. I didn't control her. She had a walk with the Lord. And God began working life. 4 months later, we were in a terrible automobile accident. My wife was in the hospital for a week. Didn't have a car anymore. It wrecked the car. Her parent, you know, of course, blamed me. If you hadn't been with me, it wouldn't have happened. And all these setbacks, we just kept waiting on the Lord, trusting the Lord, praying that God would somehow give us favor in their eyes. We waited and we waited. Finally, we went and got counseling from someone that they suggested we get counseling from, someone we didn't even know. So we went. The guy said, I have never met a couple more right for each other in my life in all my years of counseling. We said, well, would you mind writing a letter and, you know, stamping it at the bottom and sending it to her parents? He said, I'd be glad to. Well, that didn't make a bit of difference at all. 2 years. 2 years we waited. Then we get the wedding. All ready to go. It's wedding. We're all ready to have the wedding. They finally said, yep, we'll come. Go ahead, get married. So we were going to have it at another church with another pastor. Didn't even know. For their sake. Because they asked for it. The only thing we were going to do was have another pastor friend of ours come and just share for a brief time because he was very special to us. They said we didn't tell him that. We said, we did tell you that. We aren't coming. 2 days before the wedding, we canceled it. Called 500 people on the phone. Told them it was canceled. Finally, they said 2 months later, forget it. We're not coming. Just get on with your life. So we did. It was a wonderful wedding. It was wonderful. Best wedding I've ever been to. And I've been to hundreds of them. Been involved in many hundreds of them. And God just began working in our lives. And well, you know, the first years of our marriage, they were pretty tough. More ways than one. God had plans I didn't know about. But I stuck to where we were going, to our destiny. We knew God wanted to use us in the lives of thousands of people. And He wanted to use us to reach others and lead them to this wonderful life that God had given to us. And we decided we would never sell out. So part of that meant even the way we lived and ran our marriage and the roles that we took on in our marriage. First year we were married, we made $4,500. One income and a $200 car. And that was in the year 1979. That's not a lot of money, folks. Our apartment was $135 a month. All the furniture it was used or donated. We got it somewhere. We stuck to our plan. Couldn't afford health insurance. First three children were born without any insurance. And then, you know, it's so funny for me. It's just so ironic. I read the papers about school choice, voucher systems, all this uproar about school. You want to know the simplest solution in the world? Teach them yourself. It is the most awesome experience my wife and I have had for 9 years. My wife's been teaching our children at home. Now I'm telling you have to. And I'm not telling you that that's the only thing God honors. Don't anyone walk away here today and go, oh, Mark Darling said, if you don't homeschool, you don't love God. Because that'll be a lie. I didn't say that. What I'm trying to do here this evening is empower you to let you know that you can fly in the face of the establishment and that you can take your life by the horns and you can do what it is you want to do. I remember my father standing in front of me saying, oh, Mark, what do you think you're going to do? Serve God? You think God is going to rain manna down from heaven for you? God takes care of them, takes care of themselves, Mark. And I just smiled. I have so many put downs from my family and relatives. I can't begin to describe you the put downs that I had from family and relatives. And I'll never forget the day my father, who ran out on his family, deserted all of us. Deserted my mom, just happened to be in town one day, came to my home the exact morning someone called to give me a mobile home. I said, well, you know, God, I said, you know, Dad, he doesn't rain manna down, but he does rain homes down. I'll never forget smiling, saying, hey, would you like to come see it with me? I could stand here tonight and tell you one thing after another. You know what the Bible says? It says, seek first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. You know what things He's talking about? That the previous five say this. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. Don't worry about it. Don't set your heart on these things. This is the thing the Bible says literally all the pagans of the world are worried about. Your Heavenly Father knows you need these things. Look at the sparrows. They're fed. Look at the lilies of the field. They're clothed better than Solomon and all his riches. You, here's what I want you to do. I want you to concern yourself with my interests, with my business, and I'll work things out in your life. But I'll tell you something. It's one thing to do that when you're 19, you get no responsibilities. It's another thing when you got a family of four kids and a wife to take care of. And God keeps His word. And then it was a 10-year wait. It was the most exciting day of our life, my wife and I, was not our wedding. Most exciting day of our life was when Mark was finally ordained. He was finally able to go and do what it was we had been working all those years towards. 10 years. And we kept going and we kept going. And I tell you, God is doing all that we set out, that we defined. I remember when our first little girl was born, Celeste, we were cooks in the Alpha Chi Omega house. We lived in the basement of the sorority. And we were cooks down there. My little daughter was an honorary Alpha Chi. She's the first little baby they'd ever have lived there. And we had a really beautiful relationship with these girls in the sorority system. And a number of them had come to know the Lord. And some of the waiters had come to know the Lord. And it was just an exciting time in our life. And I'll forget one of the young gals coming down. She says, I'm in child development. I have to do a report and all that kind of stuff. Can I interview you? I said, sure. She said, what's the number one thing you want to teach your children? I said, the number one thing I want to teach my children is to be kind to other human beings and to teach them about God. She just dropped her pen. She said, I never heard that in my whole life. I said, that's precisely what we're aiming at, precisely what we're going to do. There are five things that when I got married, I knew, and my wife and I, we wanted to pass on to our children, five things. We wanted to pass on to them the fear of the Lord, a deep respect for God and His Word, a vibrant relationship with Him. We wanted to pass on winning attitudes in life, dynamic godly character, people skills, and leadership skills. Those five things, and I have them laid out, know exactly what it is we're aiming at. So if you want to hit something, if you want to take control of your destiny, you need to go home this week and you need to define what it is. Because if you don't define it, you won't hit it. If you don't decide what it is that God has for you, that God wants for you, and that you want. See, a lot of this, God works together with what it is He puts on our heart. You need to decide, what has God put on my heart? And if He's put nothing on your heart, go to Him and ask Him to put something on your heart. Then you need to find out. See, there's certain things God will put in your heart, and then there's other things in the Bible that are just clearly laid out about how to go about life, how to run your marriage. You need to go home tonight and say, is my marriage being run the way God wants it to be run? If not, change it. It's a beautiful thing. Am I raising my children the way God wants me to do it? If not, change it. You know how much flack I receive for disciplining my children? I remember my own mother, who grew up praying for me every day, loves the Lord, read her own Bible. I'll never forget. One day we stayed overnight. She came to my room in tears because I spanked my one-year-old. And I've got tapes in that you can get here from the tape buyer if you want to know, called Parenting It Really Works. I was just amazed. I was shocked. It's like, mother, you have been reading the Bible for 35 years. Don't you believe it? The Bible says he who spares the rod hates his son. He who loves him is faithful to discipline him. I believe that. I've been doing that. I've seen the fruit of it. And if any of you would ever like to sit down with our family and talk to my children, give me a call. And I mean that. Give me a call if you have your doubts. Give me a call. Give me a call about any of these things if you want. I'll gladly talk to you about any of them. What I'm here to tell you is the Bible works. So in closing, I would say this to you. Go for it. Risk everything on God. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. The only thing you may lose is your reputation. What's that worth anyway? Without God, what's it worth? Without God's approval, what is it worth? If at the end of your life, God doesn't put the stamp of approval on your life, what's it been worth? You ever ask yourself that? You ever ask yourself what it'd be like to get to be 65 years old, have your kids grown up, divorced, their lives ruined, and you look back on your life and you remember November 5th, 1993, Evergreen Community Church. This little haunting voice says, go for it. Risk everything on God. And you're sitting alone in your easy chair, staring out into your room, into your home. Maybe it's your mansion, who knows? And tears begin to well up in your eyes. And you think to yourself, my God, I'm 65 years old. My health's beginning to fail. My kids are grown. Now I have grandkids. And I can't go back and change a thing. Now, I got to tell you, that's the worst pain in the world. There is no pain deeper than regret. None whatsoever. So I want to share with you tonight, you go home this week, maybe it'll take you a month to do. But you need to set a goal to get it done. You need to define where it is you're going and why. The reason I say and why is because if you're not going where God wants you to go, scrap the life, scrap the plan, throw it all out and get a new one. And then when you get that one and you verify with the Word of God that this is where God wants me to go, then go after it with all your heart. Go for it. Don't let anybody tell you you can't get there. I've been hearing that all my life. I've been hearing that the last 18 years. Oh, Mark, you'll never be able to control your mind. Oh, Mark, God will never be able to use you to do nothing. That's better to listen to God. It's better to listen to God. You listen to God. He won't let you down. He won't let you fall. The Bible says that those who seek the Lord, they won't stumble. They won't fall. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 165, great peace have those who love your word, and nothing causes them to stumble. Nothing. Go take hold of your life. Go grab onto it. Go home this week and decide, I want to live my life different. Hey, you want to live it different? Listen. You can do it. We only live on one income. I've been living on one income all my married life. I've known want, and I've known more want. And now my basic needs are met. But I'm never going to get rich. That doesn't mean you can't take control of your life and do what you want with your family. Don't let society tell you that. Don't let your parents tell you. I remember receiving a letter from my wife's parents saying, if you can't live your life like normal people, don't come down for Christmas anymore. And by the way, we're cutting you out of the will. Well, big deal. Whoop-dee-doo. I got more from God than you could ever give me. Don't think that your little letter is going to stop us from this awesome life that God has given to us. No way. I empathize. I know some of you out there dealing with some difficult situations. I know some of your parents are telling you, got to baptize that baby, got to baptize that baby. Baptize the baby, please. You're going to go die and go to hell. Don't baptize your baby. My gosh, show a little guts. Stand up and say, Mom, Dad, I love you. But no. I won't. I'm going to do what God says. Oh, honey, I knew a girl here who her mother told her, you need to sleep around, dear, to find the best mate. You'd be surprised at the advice some parents give. I've heard it all, believe me. She said, no, Mom, I'm not going to. I'm not going. What, you're not going to? What do you mean you're not going? I'm not going to. There's a better way. God has a better way. Yes, God has a better way. Don't ever be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of that. Maybe you need to sell your house. Maybe you're living too high. Maybe you're too in debt. You see, debt, too much debt, can keep you from being able to do what you really want to do in life. Don't let that happen to you. My gosh, I've been renting all these years. If I never own, who cares? I mean, if I could get into a house and it'd be cheaper and I could do it, I'd do it. I'm not against that. But my goodness, if it's keeping you from doing what you want to do, sell the thing. Sell the 5 cars you've got. I've been married. I got 4 kids. I take them to karate 5 times a week. We own 1 car. Hey, it's hard. You know, it's really hard. Our life's hard in America. Did you know? Let me share this with you. Did you know that every one of you in this room, every one of you, bar none, is richer physically than the majority of the rest of the world? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever stop to ponder that? Just if it was just China, every person in this room has options every day in their life, financial options, that nobody in China has except the political elite. That's phenomenal. Russia. Take Russia, for example. Look at all the people in Russia. Or the former Soviet Union. So you need to look from a whole new perspective. Do not allow yourself to be robbed of what it is you want and God wants for you and you could have if you'd only be willing to sacrifice enough to get it. It's all you have to do. What will you sacrifice to get it? God will find that out. The world today, believe me, they're sacrificing their kids, they're sacrificing everything for a few pennies, for a little bit of money, for a little bit of materialism. You don't have to do that. Take control of your destiny. Next week, we'll talk about how to achieve it. What you're going to need to achieve what it is you decide to. Lord, we just thank you tonight so much for your word, for your plan. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you're real. I thank you that you're alive, that you care about each and every person in this room. I wish, Lord, I wish that I could sit down individually with every single person in this entire congregation and show them and talk to them about their life and where it is they could go. If only they get a new perspective. And I just pray, Lord, you'd help them. I just pray you'd help them here collectively. There's no way I could sit down with every person to go back, to seek you, to talk to you. You can sit down with every person. You can talk to every one of them. You can change their lives. You can give them the hope to do what right now they may be fearful to do. Help them to make that decision. In Jesus' name.